We're back. This is 180. I'm Carl Claussen. With me today, Dr. George Koch. Why? Because we're answering the question, what we believe and why. If you want to find out more and join us in this dynamite discussion that we've been having now for a number of weeks, maybe even months, go to whatwebelieveandwhy.com. Get your copy. I've thoroughly been enjoying this study, and I love George Koch. I love his heart, and he really reflects. He's a great mirror image of what I see in the Savior, even sitting down at a well with a woman. I've never said this to you, George, but as I see you interact with people, and I'm not calling you Jesus, but you sure do reflect him in ways, and I want to thank you for being that kind of brother.
Thank you. That's actually always been my goal, is just to be as much like him and follow him as well as I can.
The interesting thing about that, let's take a quick bunny trail here, is that that's really not our work. It's really about laying our lives down before him at the foot of the cross and saying, lead me to be like you.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
Show me what to do.
Show me what to do. And he will. I had Richard Foster on yesterday. He says, we make Jesus such a needle in a haystack. And he said, he's just not that way. We just need to quiet ourselves enough before the Lord to let him lead.
And he's very plain. He's very plain in the scriptures. He's not complicated at all.
Yeah, so good. Well, we're jumping into a discussion here that's important, and you're listening right now, and you need to know that oftentimes the very things that we believe are jaundiced, often by great history and maybe millennium of tradition, sometimes by our own cultural upbringing, sometimes by our own socioeconomic setting that we find ourselves in. The Latin is sits in Leben, your life situation. But the fact is we must ask God, if we're going to ask him for anything, God, let us remain objective here so that we aren't divided. We've been talking about concept fabrication. We hit it last week, and we're going to get into, in the next couple of weeks to come, baptism and communion. But you've got a heart that we understand why we can't be fragmented around concepts. Why is that, George?
Well, it's two-parted. One is, look at the prayer of Jesus in John 17. What he prays for us as followers of him, is that we would have the same unity with him and with each other that he has with the Father.
Yeah.
And it's almost like we just brush that off as, oh, well, that would be nice, but we don't actively engage in making it so.
And what's that look like?
It's pretty messy. We've got 23,000 denominations worldwide, and every one of them has split over some issue of doctrine, rather than trying to find a way to live together. Even where there's an important dispute, they have said, well, I just can't have anything to do with you anymore because you do not believe the way that I believe.
What a tragedy, because here's what comes out of this. And recently there's been a conference in the West that I touched on last week that proved to illustrate this point beautifully. And that is, we find ourselves split in the sheets over what I would call more peripheral theology. Now, some would just fillet me for even that statement. But the truth is, if we look at the deity of Jesus Christ, we look at the means by which we are saved, which is justification by faith alone, and we look at the Godhead and the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we look at just a few of those fundamental things, we're more united with people that experience life in Christ than we ever are divided.
Absolutely right. And we should, I believe, make every effort to draw a circle that includes all of his followers, even if they draw circles around themselves that exclude us.
Okay, is that possible?
Well, I believe that it's required.
If it's required, it must be doable.
It must be doable.
There is a calling on our life to love people that don't even like us.
Absolutely right.
Even in the family of God.
Absolutely right.
It's the greatest validity.
Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for them. He didn't say harm them. He didn't say shun them and throw them out. There are circumstances under which division is really important, where someone needs to be set aside. But it sure better be a godly decision when that happens.
Is there benefit to debate? Because my concern is that at the expense of unity, there would be no debate for fear of division. Debate's always been good, hasn't it?
Well, the problem is that Christians typically in their theology have assumed that someone has to win when there's a debate.
Interesting. Interesting.
The yeshiva model is actually much healthier. Yeshiva is where a rabbi goes to study. It's seminary for a rabbi, if okay. you would. And they actually have a model which is very healthy, and I believe Christians need to consider. We'll talk about this again in the coming weeks. But what happens is there will be a passage of scripture, and the two students, they're called Havarim, which means friends, will be looking at
which
this.
Which means friends. I love that.
Yeah. We'll look at a passage of scripture, and there will be two commentators on that passage of scripture who will actually not read it exactly the same way. And the Rosh, the head of the yeshiva, will tell one student, you take this rabbi's comment. The other student, you take this rabbi's comment. Now debate. And they have to debate that passage of scripture from the side they've been assigned. And when they do it, sparks fly. I mean, they really argue.
How beneficial would it be if we were given an opposing view of what our orthodoxy demands to debate it?
Well, no, there's just the point, because then the Rosh comes up and he says, switch sides.
Oh, my goodness.
And they have to take the side they just argued against.
How awesome
and
is
argue
that?
For it. And they actually allow two separate comments on the same passage to stand with respect toward both. This is very, very healthy. What we do is we assume one has to win and the other has to lose. And if you will not agree with my position, then I'm sorry, I can't have anything to do with you. And we get 23,000 denominations as a result.
Good stuff. My guest right now, Dr. George Koch. We're talking What We Believe and Why. Get a copy at whatwebelieveandwhy.com. By the way, a little plug. Sunday, you got nothing going on at 1 p.m.? Tune in to AM 1160. You're going to hear a phenomenal program called What We Believe and Why with Dr. George Koch.
Right,
I love Billy Graham. I love his heart, mainly because he was a man who was, he drew circles around what other people had drawn little circles around.
He sure did.
But he did have a point of demarcation. You do as well. There's some that would say, bring in Mormons. There were some that would say, bring in things that are clearly cults. I have a real hard time with some of the false promises of some health, wealth, and prosperity people that appear to be losing their minds. The Apostle Paul made statements of the same kind. There are lines that have to be drawn, but we can do those in love as well, can't we?
Well, that's just exactly the point. Jesus said that all of the law and the prophets stood on two commands, that we love God and that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. If we fail to stand on those two commands, and we believe somehow, because I'm defending a really important doctrine, I don't have to love you.
Or I can be a jerk cookie.
I have missed the foundation of what Jesus says everything has to stand upon.
That's right on. That's gospel.
You know, it is gospel. It's exactly gospel.
That's why it's called the good news.
Right.
Because the world can master debates with losers. Only the gospel can have debates and everyone's a winner.
That's right. Only the gospel should be able to draw others in because of the love that we demonstrate rather than the cynicism and condescension that we demonstrate.
One of the quick notes, this is why I'm so sold out on 180 to not getting on bunny trails. And here's why. I'm convinced that if we blaze a course toward the gospel, I mean blaze a path toward the gospel, that the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen.
George Koch, everyone. Want to get a copy of his book, whatwebelieveandwhy.com. Next week, we're going to start to take on a couple of hot button issues. Thanks, George.
You're welcome.
180, your life, a new direction.